From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 12th day of October, 2009, Columbus Day. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kirk Kimmel. He's the senior grains analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And then later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons. They're right here in Champaign County. In agricultural news, Chinese officials say they will continue to stockpile domestic supplies of corn and soybeans into the new year in hopes of stimulating growth in the Chinese agricultural sector. And the UN's FAO expects price volatility, including spikes higher, to continue through 2018. Dave Dickey will have details of these and other stories later in the half hour. And then we'll hear again from Extension plant pathologist Carl Bradley. He's some words of note on Diplodia ear rot. Hey, and don't forget, in 26 minutes, we'll check in with the folks at Chesapeake Energy to discuss the global agricultural weather forecast and that it all happens on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to Cooley at admworld.com.
In Chicago on this Monday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. December wheat futures at $4.94. and a quarter. Settlement price 26 and a quarter higher. March at 513 and a quarter, up 25 and three quarters, and May wheat at 526 and a quarter, up 24 and a half. December hard red winter wheat in Kansas City at $5.11, settled 26 cents higher. From the corn pit back in Chicago, the harvest month, December futures at 381 and a quarter, 19 cents higher. March at 393, up 18 and a half, and the May at 401, up 18. July, 407 and three quarters, up 17 and a quarter, and September corn, 413 and three quarters, up 15 and three quarters of a cent. November soybeans, $9.99, up 35. January at $10.33 higher. March at $10.5, up 32.5. And May beans at $9.94, up 29.5. July contract, $9.93, up 29.25. October bean meal at $3.22.80, up $12.50. October bean oil at $36.30, up $1.39. October live cattle futures, $82.20, down 42.5. The December futures gained 35.5 cents, up 35 at 85.30. And the feeder cattle October contract, $94.02, down 15 cents. October lean hogs at $50.12, down 72.5. This is the Closing Market Report. Here's the outside markets now as they're trading. Crude oil futures, the settlement price this afternoon at $73.27 a barrel, up $1.50. Ethanol at $1.90, 7 6/10 higher. Natural gas at $4.87 8/10, up 10 8/10 cents. And the RBOB, that's the gasoline price, at $1.79 3/10, up 2.5 cents. And heating oil, diesel fuel, $1.89 4/10, up 4 1/10 cents. Propane futures at 99 cents even, just about 3/10 cent higher. The gold futures at $1,056.70, up $8.90. And the Dow now, down just about 6 points at 9,859. The U.S. dollar at 76.19 is down 0.23. The CRB at 267.14 is up 4.59. And the Goldman Sachs on the afternoon at 483.71 is 11.48 higher for the day. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like at this hour. It says partly to mostly cloudy skies, with a low of around 29 in the far northwestern part of Illinois, says our own chief meteorologist, Mr. Ed Kieser. He says in the far south, that low will be a bit higher, around 45 degrees. And then tomorrow in central and southern Illinois, mostly sunny early, then increasing cloudiness. Elsewhere, mostly sunny. Highs will range from 47 in far northwestern Illinois to 63 in southern Indiana. Damp and cool weather expected to continue through this week, which is, of course, not particularly favorable for crop maturation and harvesting. The next wet weather system will likely pass through Illinois and Indiana in two waves, the first arriving on Wednesday, the second on Thursday. Rainfall coverage will be widespread. Daytime temps with the rain on Wednesday and Thursday will only range from the 40s northwest to the 50s in the south and the east. Dry and cool weather expected Friday into the weekend. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Mike Morris in McHenry at 815-344-7213. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
You are listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media in Urbana-Champaign. On the line with us to take a look at the agricultural futures markets on this Monday, a Columbus Day, is Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Bloomington Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, I got to say, the last time we talked to you, you said we're going to pawn it off on Wayne for turnaround Tuesday because today is higher and tomorrow might be lower. That wasn't the case, and here we are on another Monday and another day up. What was in the marketplace?
Weather concerns. We started the rally there last Monday on frost freeze concerns. We were firm all week long, but as we approach the end of the week, we feel that the trade started focusing on wet weather instead of cold weather. We did lose probably upwards of 200 million bushels of corn and 15 to 20 million bushels of bean due to cold weather, but the front and center concern is the moisture situation. It's playing havoc on the quality of the crop, and also, too, just the inability to get the crop out in some locations. So that was the main catalyst as we start the week here. As we move through the week, I imagine the market's going to hold some value until we get a warmer, drier forecast, Todd.
What are your expectations for this afternoon's crop progress report, which should show maturity and harvest today?
We'll have those out on Tuesday, Wednesday.
Oh, that's right.
He'll be able to.
Because it's Columbus Day. I wasn't thinking about that. Yeah.
They took the day off. We did not get the day off. Most markets were trading today, so there was quite a bit of activity, though. But harvest progress, last week beans were 15%. We expected it to be about 25%. Corn harvest was 10%. We're probably 15 to 16%. Percent. Some areas did make a little headway, but as far as the nation, we're still lagging quite a bit behind, and we expect that trend to continue here as we move through this fall to early winter.
You know, farmers are watching the price of corn and soybeans climb higher, something that much of the trade did not expect at this time. Are you going to be safe in saying that there's a low in the marketplace at this point, a harvest low, or do you think there's a potential move back down?
There's a pre-harvest low in place, and right now the momentum's up, the trend is up. We feel there will be a correction back to the downside. Right now it looks like this D's corn's wanting to move up to this $3.94 level. January beans appear they want to move on up to this $10.25, $10.40 price range. We'll see how the buying momentum continues here or not. We've got outside influences such as the metals, the currencies, and indexes, and energies helping right now. So as long as everything stays in a positive node, got to consider the trend higher. But once we do reach a price equilibrium point and we see the market acknowledge we're overbought and due for a correction, we will have one due to harvest pressure, maybe on a favorable weather forecast or correction in the outside markets, too.
All right. Look long-term for me at this point, because while we have moved up, we really haven't changed very much in either the corn or the soybeans in terms of carry, other than we have an inverse now, I suppose, in the soybeans, because today the price of soybeans in the nearby months is higher than it is in the far-deferred months even.
Yeah, initially we were looking for a pre-harvest low, early fall low, and that's occurred, and we were looking for a higher trend into first mid part of December. We did not expect acceleration like we're seeing now, so we view this as an opportunity to reward the market as we go and to make sales as we go higher. A lot of producers wanted the market to stay lower through October to hopefully have a low average for crop revenue policies and try to collect something there. That's not going to happen unless some disaster unfolds here in the next week or so. So we feel the market's probably going to hold together here. We like making sales as we go in through here and replacing ownership on paper. If we do have an extended rally up to $4.50 or $12 in the beans, that it'd be more so in the paper because we'd probably be in a two-tiered system where the cash market would maybe struggle and the futures would be the one to see the acceleration to the upside if that would materialize. But basis is strong. Premiums are out there if you're able to get into the field and able to harvest some corn or beans.
Yeah, on the flip side of this, are you doing anything with your livestock producers on locking in prices at this point?
Well, we started didn't get aggressive enough on getting some coverage on paper. Then we went to the mode we'd use some harvest pressure or weak basis to get some actual physical cash grain bought, and the market just literally took off. But our plan on the livestock side is to use some weakness here to get some bought. But with the quality of the crop, there's going to be plenty of poorer quality grain for sale here as we go through this fall. So the challenge is to secure good quality grain that will be available into the spring of 2010.
Any final word before I let you go?
It's a dynamic market. If you don't like it, just wait a little while.
Sounds like the weather, too. Hopefully the weather will change, maybe faster than the market trend, but we never know. Thanks much, Kurt.
Take care, Todd.
And Kurt Kimmel is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That one happens each and every Monday afternoon. Again, if you'd like to hear Kurt, you can always do that anytime on our website at willag.org, willag.org.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
Hey, one safety note as we make our way through the very, very slow start to the harvest season. It generally means that farmers will be working hard, long hours, and that you might find them much later into the year than you normally would out on those back roads. Please be careful out there. Watch for them. I know they're watching for you. That equipment's big and it's moving really, really slow. And we'd prefer that you not have an accident along the way and that those farmers stay safe. And one more thing, if you're a farmer, make sure you get plenty of sleep, even despite this fact that we're into the very late season. Dave's now here with the news.
In agricultural news, the chairman of the U.S. House of Representatives Agriculture Committee on Friday unveiled a draft bill on regulation of over-the-counter derivatives that differs in some key respects from bills drawn up elsewhere in the House and by the Obama administration. The release of Democrat Representative Colin Peterson's bill means the House now has all the pieces in place for final decision-making on one of the most complex components of a broad plan for reshaping U.S. financial regulation. Peterson says his panel's legislation attempts, quote, to reflect the concerns of end users while bringing oversight and transparency to over-the-counter trading. China pledged today to extend its controversial soybean and corn stockpiling plan into the new crop year, moving to protect farmers' interests and ensure supply at the risk of inflating imports for a second year running. The government did not say at what prices it will stockpile soybeans. The new crop harvest is due to begin within weeks. The government will also raise its minimum purchases prices of wheat by 3.4% next year in an effort to keep farmers growing the crop. It also says that the government will keep on offering incentives so that local governments and farmers would have incentives in increasing grain production. Mexico's government said on Friday that it is joining Canada in asking the World Trade Organization to settle a dispute with Washington over U.S. meat labeling rules. Mexico has asked for a WTO arbitration panel to challenge the U.S. mandatory country of origin labeling law established last year. Mexico exports a small amount of beef to the U.S., but is concerned about its export of live cattle for slaughter. And the United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization today says food commodities prices are likely to stay firm and volatile in the medium term, with a repeat of the 2007-2008 price spikes seen as a realistic possibility. Graphics published in the report showed prices for commodities such as wheat, rice, oil seeds, and raw and refined sugar were expected to hold above pre-2006 levels through 2018. FAO said drivers of price volatility included, quote, the instability of U.S. dollar exchange rates, macroeconomic instability, unstable oil prices, and government policies such as export constraints in time of high prices. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Mark Report and Commodity Week, reminding you to visit our website. The address is willag.org. There you can hear this program and other ag programming anytime you'd like at willag.org. Or you can visit our phone line if you'd like. It's 217-333-3434. We call it our mobile analyst portal. Updated at 10:15 and 3:15 daily with a little analysis and the opening and closing market report numbers. That's 217-333-3434. Now up next, you know, farmers that have been able to get into their early corn after cornfields are finding an unpleasant surprise. The yields there have been well off pace. I'll have more on the disease that's behind the problem. Despite USDA's crop production report prediction of a record-breaking nationwide yield of more than 164 bushels to the acre, there's a problem in the nation's cornfields, or at least some of them. It's called Diplodia ear rot. The disease, caused by a fungus, has thrived. It's always present, says University of Illinois Extension plant pathologist Carl Bradley.
It overwinters in stubble of the previous corn crop. So really, we always have a lot of inoculum around because there's always a lot of corn stubble around. But what was different about 2009 is all the frequent moisture we had, especially right before silking and sort of throughout silking till, you know, about 3 or 4 weeks past silking, which is kind of the critical period for infection to occur. And so we really had just really great conditions for this fungus to do a job on a lot of the corn that's out there.
Especially in fields planted to corn last year and this year, or corn after corn. Bradley says farmers must go scout their fields for this disease. That's mostly because it's covered by crop insurance and there may need to be some documentation on the losses. The other reason is because fields ripe with Diplodia ear rot will need to be harvested first. When that happens, the producer will find corn that just isn't yielding, and even worse, of really bad quality.
The biggest thing it does is it reduces test weight of the kernels. But then, of course, so you could get docked for lower test weight, and when you go in with severely affected corn, you're going to get docked because of damaged kernels as well. And if it's really badly infected, lots of times the cob will also rot, which makes it difficult for the kernels to separate. And so you'll also have a lot of foreign matter in the grain as well, so which would add another level of dockage on there. And by the end, you could almost end up owing the elevator money if it's a really bad case.
The buyer of the corn discounts the price because it's in lousy shape. The discount rate schedule reflects just how much Diplodia-damaged corn the grain handling industry is expecting. That schedule is 2 to 3 times deeper than last year in some places, central Illinois, for instance, and may be the first indication of a widespread problem, or maybe just a local problem. Time and the 09 corn crop will tell. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Support for WILL comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks by developing dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is at stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on a Monday afternoon. Time to check in the cash grain markets. The folks at the Andersons are on the line with us. Greg Johnson joins us this afternoon. Good afternoon to you, Greg.
Good afternoon, Todd.
It's cold and wet, and I'll bet you're not busy again today. How does that feel on, what, this 12th day of October? Unbelievable.
Yes. Believe it or not, we have seen a few people venture out this afternoon. It was dead this morning, but this afternoon there's a few people trying corn, and aided by the fact that there's some reduced drying rates going on. First half October trains are being placed, and normally we have plenty of corn, more corn than we know what to do with first half of October, but this year not much corn moving yet. It'll be interesting to see what the progress shows when the numbers come out tomorrow afternoon, but my guess is Illinois will probably be under 10% in single digits as far as corn harvest is concerned, so we have to do some kind of incentive work to get farmers moving corn and get these trains loaded.
Yeah, what's your discount on drying rates today?
Starting tomorrow morning, we're going to be 2 cents a point all the way up. So that'll
instead
be
of four.
Instead of, well, we're 3 cents normally up to 20, and then 4 cents above 20.
Right.
So it's 2 cents all the way up, and that'll be a day-to-day thing until we feel like we have enough corn to load the next train.
Yeah, the stuff that you have coming in this afternoon is at what rates? Moisture rates, that is.
The stuff that comes in today, most of it will be 2 cents a point also.
No. How wet is it?
Oh, how wet is
yeah.
it? Oh, probably the corn that was planted in April is drying down. It's in the low 20s, but there was very little corn planted in April. So the corn that we're getting in now is the early May planted corn, and that's 25 to 30% moisture.
Any damage in it?
It depends. Some corn on corn fields, certain varieties that were planted early in April show some damage. We're hoping that once we get into the May planted corn, which is where most of the corn was, that we won't have that problem.
Yeah, so are you as confused about the marketplace, I suppose, as the rest of the crew is? I think most of the analysts were awfully bearish. Most of the farmers are awfully bullish. And I don't know. It seems to be an awfully confusing situation as we wait harvest out more than anything else.
Well, and you have to remember that the last time that we had a frost that really potentially affected a lot of the crop was 1974. That was 35 years ago. So many things have changed since then that I don't think a lot of the traders were around then. And so it is very hard to trade this kind of a market because we haven't experienced it very often.
No, maybe we should deal with the soybeans. It looks like it's an easier call. Just bring them in, sell them across the scale if you can get them in. What kind of problems will producers face out in the field?
As far as corn or soybeans?
Soybeans, trying to deal with soybeans at this time of year.
Well, that's just it. It's going to take 2 days now for the moisture to get out of the air to where they can even think about it. And just about that time, there's more rain coming in. So, you know, just harvesting them, just being able to harvest is going to be the biggest issue with soybeans.
All right. Anything else to add before I let you go for the afternoon?
Let's see. I would just stay in touch because in this kind of a market, things change almost every day, it seems like.
And your bids for the day are?
Cash corn this week, 374. The rest of the fall, 363. January, 378. Beans delivered this week, 1004. The rest of the fall, $9.99, and January, $9.95.
Oh, $10 beans.
$10
right.
beans, yes.
Okay.
Everybody should sell some $10 beans.
Just to say you sold them. Okay,
right.
Thanks much, Greg.
Thanks, Todd.
Hey, Greg Johnson is with the Andersons. He's here in Champaign County. He joins us on the Closing Market Report each and every Monday afternoon. Back in 2 minutes when we'll take a look at that weather forecast.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jeff Bossert. Family members of Kiwan Carrington want to know why a police firearm killed the 15-year-old boy and why they've been told little about the Friday incident. Carrington was shot in the chest when Champaign police tried to apprehend him and another teen. The incident began with a call to police about a suspected home burglary, but in a news conference today, the home's owner said Carrington was welcome there and had visited the house frequently over the summer. Carrington's sister, who is his legal guardian, his aunt, and his grandmother say police have had little contact with them, and they were not allowed to view Carrington's body when it was brought to the hospital Friday afternoon. State police are investigating the incident. An officer is on paid administrative leave. Champaign police have not returned calls seeking comment, but in a statement, Mayor Jerry Schweihart asked for patience as the investigation goes on. Urbanist Comptroller says the city is beginning to see a deficit comparable to what other central Illinois towns have experienced earlier this year. And Ron Eldridge says it'll likely take a mix of increased fees and cuts next year to make up a deficit of around $1 million. He says the city may have to look at eliminating non-essential services like its leaf collection, forcing residents to turn to waste haulers. Also, other possible changes could include hiking vehicle towing and impoundment fees, as well as parking meter rates. Eldridge notes that city employee contracts will expire in the next fiscal year as well. He's hoping that unions agree to no raises. He'll give a report on Urbana's financial condition at the city council study session beginning at 7 tonight. Hinsdale Senator and gubernatorial primary candidate Kirk Dillard has picked up the endorsement of former Governor Jim Edgar. The senator was chief of staff to Edgar at the start of his term in 1991 when Illinois faced a budget deficit. The former governor says it will require someone who's been through that to face the financial problems that the state is seeing now. Edgar also cites Dillard's independent streak, noting he appeared in a campaign ad for President Barack Obama. Illinois Republicans have a candidate for attorney general. Attorney and former Northfield trustee Steve Kim formally announced today that he's running. If he's elected, Kim says one of his focuses will be protecting small businesses against fraud because the current economic climate makes them vulnerable. The 39-year-old Kim works as a legal advisor to small and medium-sized companies and lives in Northbrook. He'll face Democratic incumbent Lisa Madigan next year. I'm Jeff Bossert.
I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a Monday afternoon. On the line with us today, Mark Russo of Chesapeake Energy in Chicago to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. Good afternoon to you, Mark.
Good afternoon, Todd.
I looked in my gauge, and my neighbors looked in their gauge over the weekend, and we all agreed that it was 2¾ inches there in my hometown of Mahomet. That's a lot of water at this time of year, and it looks like there's more to come later in the week. What can you tell me?
Yeah, we expect the active pattern, which has been in place now over the past week, continuing as we go through this week and even on into next week as well, although we will have a brief window of drying conditions, particularly over the upcoming weekend and during the early part of next week. So about 4 or 5 days of dry weather, but that doesn't begin until the upcoming weekend. And prior to that, we do see another storm system or precip over the next few days that's followed by a more significant storm system later on this week.
Yeah, the dry weather is only really good, I suppose, if it comes with a little extra heat and some wind, too. Either of those things in it?
No.
Thanks.
Not in these parts here, Todd. The warm weather will be confined to the far southern U.S. and no sign of it coming up north here, at least as we go through this week. Now, into the Plains region, we do see at least a brief warm-up, which actually moving into the Midwest early next week, but that looks very brief. And at least that's not going to occur until basically 7 days from now. So we have to at least wait several days here before we see anything even back to more normal levels for this time of year.
All right, and then go back and recap freezing temperatures, where they occurred over the weekend, and who has yet to get them and when that might happen.
Yeah, at least from a season-ending freeze, with temperatures dropping into the 20s for several hours. That occurred across primarily the northern two-thirds of the Midwest that encompassed much of Iowa, even down into portions of northern Missouri, and across Iowa is kind of the northern half or so of Iowa, into parts of northern Illinois, Wisconsin, on into Michigan. So in general, the northern two-thirds experienced a hard freeze with then frost further south. So it's the areas in the southern Midwest that have yet to see one. With temperatures here coming up, their next potential of it is going to be with the cold shot coming in over the upcoming weekend.
All right. Anything else that we ought to be looking at, for instance, in South America?
Yeah, South America is having a good start to their growing season with adequate soil moisture reserves across Argentina and Brazil. And there's just no sign of that changing here through the end of the month.
And if you could round it out, I don't know whether you've been taking a look at China and how their harvest season has progressed. They're just a bit ahead of us, generally speaking. How's that moving along? Are they doing better than the United States for the corn and soybean harvest?
Yeah, there's been no issues there, and harvesting is progressing without any delays. So, yeah, they're not experiencing the U.S. weather here, so not having those types of issues at this time.
And we'll talk to you in another week.
Okay, Dad.
Thanks much. That's Mark Russo. He's with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media. Happens each and every Monday afternoon. You have a great day. Be patient if you're waiting to get into the field. and don't work too many late hours. I know it's going to be tough once we get started. And if you're out on the back roads, be wary out there. That machinery's big and it moves slow, and I just assume you not run into the back end of it. Have a good day. I'm Todd Gleason.